Wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. I should like to read a few verses out of the third letter of John. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in health. I know that it is well with your soul. For I greatly rejoiced when some of the brethren arrived and testified to the truth of your life, as indeed you do follow the truth. No greater joy can I have than this, to hear that my children follow the truth. Beloved, it is a loyal thing you do when you render any service to the brethren, especially to strangers who have testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey as befits God's service, for they have set out for his sake and have accepted nothing from the heathen. So we ought to support such men, that we may be fellow workers in the truth. In these moments of united reverence, I should like to draw attention to an idea set forth with clarity and power in the 8th verse of 3 John. The author declared that the people of God who support traveling missionaries are fellow workers in the truth. They are fellow helpers to the truth. They are allies of the truth of the gospel. A pre-med student with a brilliant academic record interposed this question in a discussion of creative teaching. How can a student help a teacher to be his creative best? This is not an impertinent question. It is an important question. I should like for us to look at it not in the context of a medical school, but in the context of a theological seminary. How can students in a theological seminary help the faculty to be productive scholars and creative teachers? In the first place, the student helps the teacher by affirmative participation in the search for a deeper knowledge of the truth about God and its relation to human decisions in this generation. The students and the teachers are fellow workmen in the truth. The teacher says, "I invite you to participate in the adventure of Christian scholarship." And the student replies, "I accept the invitation." This commits the teacher and the student to systematic and thorough work in the mastery of ideas, in the clarification of values, and in the quest for a coherent interpretation of life informed by the mind of Christ. they become allies in the process of learning. The word learning has a twofold meaning. It is used to indicate a vast, complex, growing body of knowledge. As we were told in a very stimulating address yesterday, we have more than 44,000 bound volumes in our library. In addition, within 35 miles of this chapel, there are more than 3 million bound volumes. We have access to an enormous amount of learning. But the word learning is used also to describe a process of thinking, a search for knowledge, the venture of the mind. The student who explores what has been learned and recorded and uses his mind in the quest for a deeper understanding of the mind of Christ is a fellow workman in the truth. In the second place, the student helps the teacher by keeping the channels of communication open. Dr. Kenneth Brown has said that the cables of communication are cut when the faculty is too busy to speak thoughtfully or the student is too busy to listen graciously. And when the channels of communication are cut, understanding and affection are interrupted, and sooner or later, persons who ought to think of themselves as allies of the truth, fellow helpers to the truth, are unable to trust one another. This difficulty, I think, is overcome by opening the inner life to the Spirit of God. He produces a moral transformation. He opens up the blind spots. He draws fellow helpers to the truth together in a fellowship of faith and of learning. Through this process, teachable and judicious minds advance in Christian maturity. They grow in wisdom. They understand the principles of right action and enable others to see truth and right for themselves. And I, for one, believe that Dr. John Oman of Cambridge University was describing the very heart of our task when he said that it is the purpose of a Christian minister to enable people to see truth and right for themselves. In the third place, the student helps the teacher by manifesting a readiness to recognize the perils confronting servants of God in our time. Let me draw attention very briefly to what I think the three greatest perils are. The peril of accommodating the gospel to the culture in which it is preached. The peril of subordinating what God demands of us to what man expects of us. And three, the practice of cruelty in human relations, which always involves the loss of the pearl of great price. In the presence of these perils, it may be well to remember the motto of Oxford University, "The Lord is my light." This tells us something about God and something about man that will encourage us to be fellow workers in the truth. Dr. Roland H. Bainton's latest book, entitled Christian Attitudes Toward War and Peace, has an intriguing dedication. It is dedicated to Cornelius Kruis, colleague in courses, comrade in causes. You and I, teachers and students, and our 875 alumni, wherever they are, our colleagues in courses and comrades in the cause of Christ. We are fellow workmen in the truth. We are fellow helpers to the truth. We are allies of the truth about God